بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، respected brothers, elders, dear scholars, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Let me begin this with a question. Are you a loser? And let me present some possible scenarios. Maybe you had a business, or maybe you currently have a business, and that business is not running too well. Maybe you were married, or maybe you are married, and your marriage has fallen apart or is falling apart. Maybe you have children and you couldn't fulfill the expectations of your children. Or maybe you had lofty aspirations for your children and your children went wayward. Maybe you were at college or university and you couldn't attain the degree or attain the marks that you wish for. Maybe at work, you've been dreaming about promotion and you haven't attained promotion. Maybe at school, maybe at college, maybe at university, the opposite sex never gave you a second look. Maybe you were the last person who was chosen on the netball field. Maybe you were the last person who was chosen on the football field. And thus, maybe in your eyes, or maybe in the eyes of many others, you are a loser. You are a loser. This is a dunyawi criteria. It has no bearing in the criteria and the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a loser in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly depicts in His holy book when He takes a qasam, He takes an oath. He says, wal asr, by time or by the asr prayer, innal insana lafi khusr, that the entirety of humanity is in loss, that every single human being is in loss. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes forward and then He makes the exception. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, besides those who believe, who have a firm conviction and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't finish there. He said, not just belief, but what kind of belief? A belief which propels you, which spurs you on to do عمل الصالحات, which propels you in doing good actions. It's not just good enough to recite the Shahada, but have an iman which is dynamic. Have an iman which allows you and which propels you to do good actions. If you want to see a man whose iman propelled him to do good actions, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, regarding who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوُزِنَ إِمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَإِمَانُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَرَجَهَ بِي. If the iman of the entirety of humanity was weighed, and the iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was weighed, the iman of Abu Bakr would be heavier than the iman of the entirety of humanity. What kind of iman was this? This was an iman which propelled him to do good actions. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, who amongst you is fasting today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who amongst you followed a janazah? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who visited a sick person today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who amongst you has spent upon a poor person today? And Abu Bakr again in the same gathering, he said, oh Messenger of Allah, me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for that person who has all these characteristics, there is no abode but Jannah. There is no abode but Jannah. See, if you look on the day of judgment, the doors of Jannah will call. Who will they call? Who will they call? They will call those people of actions. That's who they will call. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the door of Jannah, there will be a Babu Salah, and this will be a door for the people of Salah, and it will call all those who observe their Salah. And the people who observe their Salah will enter from it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be another door, and this will be Babul Jihad. For all those people who perform jihad, this door will say, if you perform jihad, then come through me. And then there will be another door, the door for those who observe their fast, Babu Rayyan. The door, and it will call, for those who observe their fast, enter through me. Enter through me. And there will be other doors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, up to 8 doors. Another door will be a door where a person whose door of sadaqah, a person who spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will call those who spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sitting there. And again Abu Bakr shines. Again. He said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me, is there anybody that all the doors of Jannah will call to? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Arju an takuna minhum." Abu Bakr, I am optimistic that you will be the person that all the doors of Jannah will call. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Anta huwa ya Abu Bakr." You are that person that all the doors of Jannah will call to. Who are the doors of Jannah calling to? They are calling the people of actions. Those who believed, but not only believed, but their iman was such that it spurred them to do good action. And these were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were heavy in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, last night I saw a dream and I saw Abu Bakr being weighed radiallahu anhu. And I saw the entirety of humanity being weighed. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was heavier than the entirety of humanity. Today you look, there's a billion of us. A billion of us. And you look at our weight in the scales of humanity. You look at us, we are regarded as the scum of the earth. The fifth columners. You kick us from pillar to post. We have no weight. Why? What is the difference? Why was Abu Bakr and Umar and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu people who were weighty in the scales of Allah, although they were not many in number? And why is it today that we are a billion in number, 200,000 in Birmingham, nearly 2 million in England, or more than 2 million now in England, millions of us over the world. But out of every 5 people walking on the face of this earth, 1 is a Muslim. But you look at our state, what's the difference? The Prophet ﷺ depicted it 1400 years ago. He said, whoever has one concern, and that is the concern of the Akhirah. And this is what Abu Bakr, and this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were like. Whoever has one concern, that he's working for his Creator, then Allah will suffice him in all his other concerns. And whoever makes the dunya his concern, whoever makes the dunya his motive in life, then Allah will give him unto his concern. وَلَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ فِي أَيَّ وَادٍ يَمُوتٍ. And Allah doesn't care in which valley he drops down dead. Allah doesn't care. And this is the state that you see the Muslims today. You know, we are light. But I'll tell you something which is even worse than being light and in a state of decadence, is where a believer resigns to his state of decadence. Where he's always cursing the dark, but he can never light a small candle. And you see these guys, see them all the time. You speak to them, brother, it won't make any difference. You know, chronic pessimism, chronic. You mention anything to him? No, don't bother doing that. You mention any organization to him, and he'll have something to say. You mention any person to him, he'll have something to say. Chronic pessimism is almost contagious. Paralyzes himself and paralyzes others. Paralyzes the community. And you find many of these in the Muslim community. You know, chronic pessimism, who have no uluw al-himma, who have no high aspirations. Have you ever heard the statement, a dog's life? Have you heard it? What does it mean? It means a difficult life, a life of hardship. Let me give you another interpretation which Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah gives. You know, and let me give this interpretation because other people give interpretation of the word dog. So if you go to America, you know, now it's like, you know, the gangsters say, yo, dog. It means, you know, my friend, my homie, you're loyal to me like a dog. Can you imagine translating that in Urdu? So Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah says that a dog came and he was tired of people insulting him. When they want to insult anybody else, they would say, dog. When they wanted to insult him, they would say, you dog. So he came to the king of the jungle. He came to the lion and he said to the lion, he said, change my name because I'm sick of people insulting me. Change my name. So the lion said to him, no, no, you deserve that name. That's what you deserve. You're deceptive in nature. You have all the characteristics of a dog. Therefore, you deserve it. So the dog says, try me. So the lion says, I'll give you this piece of meat. If you can look after it till the morning, I will change your name. So the dog looks after the piece of meat. It's in front of him. And he inclines towards it, but he controls his temptations. The night progresses, you know, he starts looking at it with the corner of his eyes. But then he manages to control his temptations. And then as the night goes on and on, his temptations get the better of him. And he starts speaking to himself. He says, dog, dog's a good name. He justifies it to himself. Like many of us justify our state to ourselves. We justify it to ourselves. We say, oh, we can't do anything. He says, dog is a good name. I like my name, dog. And then he eats a piece of meat. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah says that this is the sign of a person who has low aspirations in life. He has a low aspiration in life. He doesn't have a ulu al-himma. And many of us have become like that dog today in the sense that we have low aspiration. Believers were meant to be the furthest away from this. We were meant to be people with high aspiration. Why? Because the truth is that you can work for the dunya day in, day out for 100 years, but you will only get that which Allah has decreed for you. As for working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man arada hasanatan falam ya'malha." Whoever intends to do a good action, but for some reason, so he intends to do good action, but he, for some reason, he is unable to do that good action. So you want to do a good action, but for some reason, you are unable to do that good action. Allah will still write that good action for you. Allah will still write that good action. We have no concept of ceiling in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You intend to do a good action and you're sincere, and you're unable, that will be written for you. On the day of judgment, you will see that. In the time of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, Abdullah ibn Mubarak was an amazing personality. Out of all the imams, the only imam who was never disparaged was Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. One year he would do jihad, and the next year he would do hajj. He lived in a place called Merv. Merv, Central Asia. And he would travel every other year for Hajj. So he goes for Hajj, like many of the Hajis have now come back from Hajj. And he reaches Merv, and he reaches Hajj. He performs his Hajj. And after performing his Hajj, he's sleeping. And he sees a dream, two angels descend. And one angel says to the other, he said, how many people have performed Hajj this year? He says, 60,000. He said, how many people's Hajj has been accepted? He says, not even one. Not even one. Besides one man called Abdullah ibn Muqaffal, a cobbler from Damascus. He didn't even attend the Hajj. But Allah accepted his Hajj. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, wakes up in the morning. He's deeply concerned about this. He's shaking, he's perspiring. And he hurries to Damascus. And he reaches Damascus and he asks the people of Damascus, do you know a man called Abdullah ibn Muqaffal? And they direct him to his house. He knocks on the door. Abdullah opens the door. He asks him name. He says, Abdullah ibn Muqaffal. He says, what's your profession? He said, I'm a cobbler. So he says to Abdullah, he said, I want to ask you a question. I saw a dream and I want to ask you about this dream. So he relates the dream to him. And Abdullah ibn Muqaffal says, I'll tell you, I am a cobbler. And I had a deep desire to perform Hajj, because my income is very little. For the last 20 years, I have been saving up to perform Hajj. For the last 20 years, I've been saving up to perform Hajj. And this year, I had enough money to perform Hajj. And he said, my wife was pregnant. And she smelled meat from the neighbor's house. And you know, pregnant women, when they smell something, they want it there and then. So she asked me to go and ask neighbors for the meat. So I went to the neighbor's house and I knocked on the door. And the lady opened the door. And I said, my wife is pregnant and you're cooking some meat. Can I ask you for that meat? Can I ask you for that meat? And the lady said, the meat is halal for us, but it's haram for you. And Abdullah ibn Muqaffal said, how's that? Halal for you and haram for us? And the lady said, that for many days, my children have had nothing to eat. They've been starving. And today I was walking on the street and I saw a dead donkey and I cut the meat from the donkey. And to feed my children, I came, and the meat that I am cooking is that meat of the donkey. So it's halal for us and it's haram for you. And Abdullah ibn Muqaffal says, I went home. I bought all the money that I had gathered for 20 years and I gave it to this lady and I said, this is my Hajj. He didn't even perform Hajj, but Allah gave him the reward for performing the Hajj. Allah gave him the reward for performing the Hajj. As a poet says, he says, Ya rahilina ila al-bayt al-atiq. Ya rahilina ila al-bayt al-atiq. Sirtum jasuman wa sirna arwahan. Sirtum jasuman wa sirna arwahan. He said, oh, you have gone for Hajj to the house of Allah. Sirtum jasuman wa sirna arwahan. You went with your bodies and we went with our souls and spirits. Inna aqamna ala uzrin wa an qadrin. وَمَنْ أَقَامَ عَلَىٰ أُزْرٍ فَقَدْ رَاحَ. He said, if we stayed behind, then we stayed behind due to an udhr, due to an excuse. And the person who remains behind due to an excuse, then it is as though he has gone. He said, it's though he has gone. We didn't stay behind because we wanted to, but Allah has decreed that we couldn't go. So we stayed behind. But the person who stayed behind, it is as though he has performed the Hajj. And this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives you according to your intention. The battle of Tabuk was where the Muslims had to travel over 500 miles. It's midsummer. The Muslims have been afflicted with the drought. They have no provisions, impoverished state. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are going to this journey. And Uthman radiallahu anhu prepared a quarter of the entire army. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave everything he had. Umar radiallahu anhu gave half of his wealth. Even after all this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah. And they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we want to go for jihad, but we don't have shoes to wear. We don't have shoes to wear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have nothing to give you. I can't even give you a pair of shoes. And these Sahaba radiallahu anhu left and they were weeping. And they were given the permanent name, Al-Bukaun, the weepers. Until today, their names are recorded, Al-Bukaun. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes with the Sahaba over 500 miles. And then he returns. And whilst he was returning, he turned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he said, Inna fil madinati la rijalan. Inna fil madinati la rijalan. He said, indeed in Medina there are some men. Ma sirtum masiran wa ma qata'tum wadiyan illa kanu ma'akum. He said, you have not gone on any path. nor have you traversed any valley, but they have been with you. They didn't come for the jihad. They didn't come for the jihad. They couldn't. They didn't have shoes. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you did not go across any path or traversed any valley, but they got the reward for your actions sitting in Medina. And this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can a Muslim have low aspirations? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who desires shahada, he desires shahada, but for some reason he's not able to go and perform jihad, and he dies on his bed, he will get the reward of the martyrs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who wants to wake up for the morning prayer, but for some reason he's unable to wake up for the morning prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward for the morning prayer. Now this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can a Muslim then have low aspirations? How can a Muslim not have high aspirations? And you look around you. Wallahi, you look around you. It's amazing. You see people who work for the dunya, who are more motivated for their dunya cause than me and you are. They work for the dunya, but they are more motivated than me and you are. You have an EDL member. An EDL member is more motivated for his racist, fascist movement than me and you. And we work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We work for the akhirah. Luqman the wise once said, he said, work for the dunya according to the time that you're going to look in it, live in it. And work for the akhirah according to the time that you are going to live in it. How long are you going to live in this dunya? And how long are you going to live in the hereafter? But how much we pin all our aspirations on this dunya. We pin all our aspirations on this dunya. Dhulqarnain. Everybody knows who Dhulqarnain is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his kingdom in the Quran. He had so much kingdom that Allah mentions in the Quran. Allah mentions that we were the ones who gave him tamkeen in the earth. We made him steadfast and we gave him the land. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we gave him all the means that he desired. So can you imagine? Allah gave this man, he ruled the entire world. But when he was passing away, what did he say? He turned to the people, his governors and his wazirs, and he says, when you take me about to bury me, make sure that you put my hands outside the coffin. So people know that Dhulqarnain came to this dunya empty-handed and he's leaving this dunya empty-handed. All those aspirations that we have, all those aspirations, as a poet says, كَمْ حَسَرَاتٍ فِي بَطُونِ الْمَقَابِرِ. He says, alas, how many a desire lies in the depths of the graveyard. If you go to the graveyard and you ask the people if they could speak, he said, what aspiration did you have? It said, I had one house, I wanted two houses. I had one business, I wanted two businesses. I had 1 million, I wanted 2 million. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a line, and then he drew a box, and then he drew another line from the first line going outside the box. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know that first line is man's life. You know that box, that is death. And you know these other lines which go out of the box, they are man's aspirations. They are his aspirations. He's all, death befalls him, but he still has these huge aspirations. He still wants to do this. And if Allah gave him another month, another year, he would want to achieve this. And we want to ask ourselves, are we actually like this? Are we actually like this? Are we people who pin all our aspirations? You know, we have dunya, we aspirations. What's your aspirations for your akhirah? How do you aspire? Is there no difference between us and those people outside? How is it? No, really ask yourself. How is it an EDL member is more motivated for his cause than me and you? How is that possible? How is it some lobbyist is more motivated for his cause than me and you? How is it some gay activist is more motivated for his cause, although we live for the hereafter? There's nothing for aspiring for the dunya. We say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. We want good in this world and we want good in the hereafter. But our good in the hereafter should be greater than the good that we want in this dunya. So how is it a gay activist is more motivated than a believer in La ilaha illallah? Further than that, how is it animals are more motivated for their master than we are? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls, He recalls the animals of the horses of jihad. He says, وَالْآدِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. He says, وَالْآدِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. Allah takes an oath by those horses in the jihad that when they run with so much vigor that they pant. When they run, their hoofs make sparks fly. When they attack right in the morning. When they run with so much vigor that they make dust fly up. And when they don't attack on the sides. They attack right in the middle. Right in the middle they attack. And then after drawing all this picture of the horses of jihad, that they run with so much vigor that they pant. They run with so much vigor that they make sparks fly up. They make death fly up. They don't attack from the side. They're in the midst of the action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly after that says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Indeed, man unto his Lord is ungrateful. What is Allah saying here? Allah is saying, oh man, the horse is more committed to his master who gives it fodder than you are to your Rabb. Than you are to your Rabb. Have me and you, ask yourself, have me and you ever panted for the sake of Allah? Have me and you ever sweated for the sake of Allah? Have me and you ever given our days and nights for the sake of Allah? We, before we break up into a sweat, we throw the towel in. And this is the sign of the greatest losers. This is the sign of the greatest losers. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum never accepted this. They were people of Aluwul Himma, Wallahi. If a man amongst them walked, listen, if a man amongst them walked lackadaisically, they would get upset. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw a man, he's walking like this. Umar radiallahu anhu whipped him. He whipped him. And he said, may Allah destroy you, for do not destroy this deen. Muslims are meant to be motivated people. You know, you're sitting at the Shisha lounge. You know, Shisha lounge, bro, I want to revolutionize the world. Bro, we got to take Palestine over. It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. Many of those, you know, people who, mashallah, who are religious, who pray five times salah, but that's as far as they go. And somebody's told me and you that we are religious. Somebody's told me and you, because we come to the masjid, because we have a beard, because you have a hijab, and alhamdulillah, these are all part of the deen. But somebody's told us that you're practicing. Let me tell you, he's lied to you. He's lied to you. So we have in our mind that I'm practicing, bro. I don't need to do anything more. That person's lied to you. When Shifa bint Abdullah, she saw a group of people. And these people, you know, they spoke very softly. They walked like this. You know, walked like this. She said, who are these? And she was told, these are zuhad. These are people of abstinence. These are people who stay away from the dunya. And she said, I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab. I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab. And when Umar spoke, you could hear him. When he walked, you couldn't keep up with him. And when he struck you, you would feel it. And she said, by Allah, there was no greater zahid than Umar ibn al-Khattab. There was no greater zahid than Umar ibn al-Khattab. Why? Because these people had sat with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had seen a man on a mission. A man who was motivated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba say, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk, we would find it impossible to keep up with him. Because he was a man on a mission. He was a man who was going somewhere. He had an intention. And I ask you, what's your mission? What's your mission in life? What do you want to achieve in life? What's your focus in life? Do you actually have a focus? What do you want to achieve? And I'm speaking from Islamic perspective. And look, there's people who are from, you know, different levels, different standards here. But every single person should have an aspiration. Every single person should have a focus. So what's your aspiration in life? If there are people here who are not praying, then you need to start praying. But you need to put a system in place which will allow you to pray. You know, you hear brothers, you know, family members, they're all saying, Uncle, I'm going to start praying soon. See him 6 months later, Uncle, I'm going to start praying soon. What have you done to start praying? What is stopping you from praying? Is it the TV? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Is it the PSP? Get rid of it. Is it your friends, your companies? Then get rid of them. Send them a text message. There's some changes I'm making in my life. And if you don't hear from me again, then you're one of them. I know, I'm only joking there. But make a change. Make a change. If you are praying, then how much tilawatul Quran do you do every day? How much do you read of the Quran? How much dhikr do you do? How much about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do you learn? Where do you want to be after a year? People for businesses, they have 100-year business plan. And you see brothers and sisters who have been practicing for 10, 15 years and they are exactly where they were. They are exactly where they were. A story comes to mind that a group of young men, they were sitting by the Kaaba. The young men were very pious young men. Musab ibn Zubair, Urwat ibn Zubair, both of them, the sons of Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar and Malik and Abdullah ibn Malik ibn Marwan, if I remember rightly. And all four of these were sitting by the Kaaba. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And they're sitting by the Kaaba. And they say this is a holy place. So Musab ibn Zubair says to the rest, desire. Desire something. So they say, you start. So he says, I desire to marry the daughter of Hussein radiallahu anhu, Sukaina, and the daughter of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Fatima, and I also want to be the governor of Iraq. And they all say, Ameen. And the time comes that he marries both of them, and he becomes the governor of Iraq. Then they ask Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, what do you want to be? And he said, I want to be a muhaddith. I want to transmit the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that they say, Ameen. And the time comes that he also becomes a muhaddith. His dua is accepted. Then they ask Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, they ask him, what do you want to be? He said, I want to be the Khalif. And they all say, Ameen. And the time comes that he becomes the Khalif. And then they ask Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, they said, what do you want to be? He said, what do you desire? Tell us, what do you desire? He said, I desire Jannah. I desire Jannah. And inshallah, he attained what he desired for. But these men didn't just desire, they worked for it. They made an effort for it. They say the Japanese, their attitude to work is, if he can do it, I can do it. And if nobody else can do it, then I must do it. They say the Middle Eastern attitude and generally the Muslim attitude is, Wallahi, if he can do it, let him do it himself. Ya Habibi, if nobody can do it, how you expect me to do it? Looks like the Japanese were on the manhaj of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When it came to work ethics, they were on the manhaj of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this is where it starts. It starts from yourself. What change are you going to make? What focus are you going to have? Because you need a focus. Let me tell you, aspirations without a focus always fall by the wayside. All day you'll be speaking about Palestine. But what are you going to do for Palestine? All day you will be speaking, we need to make a change in Masjid Hamza. We need more youngsters in. We need to give more dawah. And then what? What's your focus? You'll say, we need to do this with our community. Need to do this with my children. But what's your focus? What systems have you put in plan to reach your goal? Dr. Tariq Aswaidan mentions that Howard University prepared a questionnaire for their students who were about to graduate. 100 students. Now, what do you want to attain in 10 years? In 10 years, what do you want to be? So 90% of the students had, you know, open, general aspirations. I want to be rich. I want to have a beautiful wife. I want to be famous. You know, the general, just general. 10% were very focused in their aspirations. They said, we want to be the director of so-and-so company. I want to start a business, and in 10 years, I want the business to be here. Very focused in their aspiration. They said they left them for 10 years. Nothing. After 10 years, they caught up with them, and they assessed their lives. Out of the 90% who had general aspiration, nothing specific, only 4% had reached their target. Out of the other 10% who were very focused, over 90% had hit their target. 90%. So if you want to make a change, have a focus, have a goal. If you want to revolutionize the world, if you want to revolutionize the world, then start from revolutionizing yourself. Make a change within yourself. You know, Gandhi once said something very profound. And you know, I know there's many of you, you know, he mentioned a non-Muslim name. Say, why is he quoting a Gandhi in the masjid for? You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had the entire biography of Anushirwan that just read to him. The entire biography. Because we take good from where we find it. The reason that you are here in the West is for a reason. And that's why you're not in Pakistan or in Bangladesh or Somalia or in Egypt or somewhere else in the world. You take good from where you get it. So Gandhi once said, he said, be the change that you want to see in the world. You want to see the change in the world, then you be that change. Don't expect other people to be the change. You show other people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer is a mirror for others. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum went a step further. They would say, Kunu amthalana. Kunu amthalana. They would say, be like us. Now you might think that this is somewhat an arrogant statement. Why do you tell people to be like you? But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were people who were guaranteed Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had the right to say this. They would say, be like us. So if you want to change, you know, the change must come from us. It must come from us. There's a story that comes to mind that is a man who comes from work and he's very tired. And his young son now wants to play with the father. So the son says, Dad, I want to play with you, little toddler. So the dad's tired, you know, he wants a cup of tea, he wants to put his feet up. So he says to the, he sees a newspaper in front of him and a picture of the world. So he takes the newspaper and he tears up the newspaper and he throws it on the floor and he says, put the world together and then we play. So he thinks he's going to buy him a half an hour. It's going to take him a while to put the paper together, the world together. After a few minutes, the boy's there and he's already put it together. You know, Africa's in the right place. UK's in the right place. China's in the right place. The father's astonished. He tore it up into small pieces. How did he manage to put it back together so quickly? So he says to his son, he said, how did you manage to put it back so quickly? So the boy turns the paper on the other side. And this picture of a man He says, Dad, I put the man right and the world came together by itself. I put the man right and the world came right by itself. And this is it, my dear respected brothers. You know, we begin to work upon ourselves. Excuse me for a second. I think Masjid Hamza needs a good AC system. So he says, I put the world together and the man came. I put the man right and the world came right itself. So if we want to see a change, we need to begin that change ourselves. Why? Because see, once you make a change within yourself, you become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to do things for your creator, naturally. And your creator and the one that you love will give you tawfiq to do things. Then you will have high aspirations. Then your aspirations. But the first change is what? Your iman. Your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An iman which spurs you to do good actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls the story of the men of Talut. When they were going to face the army of Goliath. When they saw the army of Goliath, it was a huge army. And this was a handful of men. Handful of men. And a group of them began to say, there's no way we can fight them. Impossible. And then there was another group Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalled in the Quran. A smaller group. And they saw this huge army in front of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls them. They're saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said those who were sure that they would meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said those who were sure that they were going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How often? And Allah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define these people? He says, these people were sure that they were going to meet their creator. Their iman was such that when they saw the huge numbers in front of them, the thousand, they saw Goliath. These men were mountains of men. What did they say? They said that we are sure that we're going to meet our creator. They said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. He said, how often a small group of people defeat a large army with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was the characteristic of these people? The characteristic of these people were, they were sure. They were people of iman. So when they saw the numbers didn't scare them. And this is the nature of people who love Allah and His Messenger. The people who really love, let me tell you, the people who really love Allah and His Messenger, they have high aspirations. They have high aspirations. They want to make a change. Even if they achieve nothing in their life, Allah will reward them. Allah will reward them. Upon occasion, some booty came from Bahrain. Never ever had so much booty ever come into the Muslim world. Never before this day. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, spread the booty in the masjid. So they spread the booty in the masjid. And then the Sahaba come and they ask the Prophet ﷺ and he says, take it. And then somebody else comes and he says, take it. As the Sahaba radiallahu anhum mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ never had the vocab la. The vocab la, no, did not exist in the vocabulary of the Prophet ﷺ. Whenever somebody asked him, he gave them. So they came to him and he gave. Somebody else came, he gave. Somebody else came, he gave. There were some Sahaba who came, they took so much that they couldn't carry it. And next to the Prophet ﷺ, there's a Sahabi radiallahu anhu. His name is Rabi ibn al-Ka'b al-Aslami. And he's quiet. He's sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says nothing at all. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Rabi, he says, Rabi, salni, ask me. He said, O Messenger of Allah, if I ask you, will you give me? And the Messenger of Allah says, ask me for whatever you desire, and I will give you. And he says, as'aluka marafataka fil jannah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة. He said, O Messenger of Allah, all I ask you is that I want your companionship in Jannah. The Prophet said, when you ask for Jannah, what kind of Jannah you ask for? You ask for Jannah al-Firdaus, because for a believer, second best isn't good enough. But you look at this man, being with the Messenger of Allah in Jannah. And the Prophet said, Awa ghayra dhalik. He said, is there anything else that you desire? And he said, Huwa dhak. He said, O Messenger of Allah, that is all I desire. And then the Prophet said to him, he said, then assist me by doing kathratu sujood, by doing profuse sujoods, sajdas for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will intercede for you on the day of judgment. But what is the aspiration? And a believer has a high aspiration. Those who love Allah and His Rasul, they have high aspiration. When Thawban radiallahu anhu, he fell ill. And the Prophet asked about Thawban. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, he's so ill, he can't even walk. So the Prophet went to Thawban. And he said, O Thawban, what's made you so ill? And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I was thinking that you will go into Jannah and I may end up in Jahannam and I will never see you again. He's not interested in going to Jannah. He's interested in being with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, even O Messenger of Allah, even if I enter into Jannah, you will be in a higher Jannah and I will be in a lower Jannah and I still won't see you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma man ahab. Man will be raised, a man will be in the hereafter with that person that he loves. If you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you will be with him. But love doesn't mean empty rhetoric. It doesn't mean empty rhetoric that many of us say, oh, we love Allah and we love Rasul, but we emulate other people in our life. We aspire to be like other people in our life. But with our mouths, we say we love Allah and His Rasul. If empty rhetoric is, we have to accept empty rhetoric, then you will have to accept that Israel wants peace with Palestine. You will have to accept that every politician loves his constituency. You will have to accept that every Muslim ruler loves his people. None of you are ready to accept this. Then why is it when we speak about Allah's Rasul, our lives are a manifestation of something totally different. But we always say, we love Allah and His Rasul. If you love Allah and His Rasul, then you want to follow them. You want to work for your Creator. Like a horse works for its master, you want to work for your Creator because you love Allah. Because when you go back to Allah and you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to do something which pleases your Creator. You know, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ahmad in his book Ulu al-Himma, High Aspirations, gives an example of a story in Khurasan. Khurasan, he says that there was a Sayyid who lived in Khurasan. And this Sayyid was directly descended from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was very proud that he came from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, in the same vicinity, there was a freed African slave, but this freed African slave was a scholar, and people respected him. As far as this Sayyid was a fajir, he was a sinner. He would do all kind of bad things. So one day, this African slave, freed slave, who's a scholar, is going to the masjid, and with him is a big entourage of his students. And whilst they are going, they go past this Sayyid who's drunk. So they remove the Sayyid out of the way. Because of the honor of the Sheikh, he's going to the masjid. And the Sayyid is now upset. So he begins to insult the Sheikh. He begins to insult him. He says, you slave, and you're the son of a slave. He said, you African dog. He said to him, you African dog. He said, your forefathers were kafirs. As for me, I am the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How dare people treat me like this and they respect you? And the people wanted to beat this Sayyid. But the Sheikh said, leave him for the honor of his grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Sheikh addressed him. He said, you look down upon me because I was a slave and because the color of my skin. He said, but let me tell you, My inner has illuminated my external. As far as you're concerned, your inner has made your outer dark. He said, you see these people who respect me and honor me. They respect me and they honor me because I have adopted the way of your grandfather and you have adopted the way of my people. You have adopted the way of my people. He said, people follow me. Why? Because people regard me as the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they regard you as the grandson of my people, of my forefathers. And so therefore honor for a believer is not where you come from, but honor for a believer is that we adopt the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have high aspirations. So let me go back to the verse. Let me finish off. Been over an hour now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bil sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling the believers that you need to do good actions, you need to believe and do good action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what? He says, encourage each other. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no longer telling the people, you do good actions. He's saying, now encourage each other to do haqq. What does the word haqq mean? The word haqq means al-khayr kulluh. Everything which is good is haqq. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, now you do good actions. He says, encourage each other to do good. Encourage each other. Why? Because no community can come out of loss unless they work together. Unless they work together. No community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you encourage each other. And when you are encouraging each other to do good, then there's a strong possibility that you will find difficulty, that there will be obstacles in front of you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, encourage each other with sabr. You might burn out. You might find it difficult. But what do? You encourage each other. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they would be walking, they would often sit down and they would recite this surah. And the reason that they would recite this surah was why? Because they were encouraging each other with haqq and with sabr. And therefore, as a community, the latter part of the verse is for the ummah and the community. That you speak the haqq, that you do good actions, you enjoin everything which is good. And when you ever find difficulty, you do sabr. And you encourage each other to do sabr. So when you build a huge masjid in your community, and you spend £1 million for your masjid, then if you look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you spend £1 million for your masjid, then you should have an imam which is worth 5 million. MashaAllah, you have imams which are worth 10 million. MashaAllah. But that is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In your community, that whatever you do it together. And you are optimistic. Believers have high goals. Believers have goals which move mountains. And even in your life, if you don't move a mountain, Allah will reward you for moving a mountain. So from now, we don't want any, you know, negative vibe from brothers. We don't want people. We are not interested in people who want to paralyze this ummah, who want to paralyze this community. We want people who have a positive outlook. We want people who learn about their deen. After 1 year, where do you want to be? After 10 years, where do you want to be? After 15 years, where do you want to be? Your children, what aspirations do you have for your children? You have children. Have you ever thought about in 5 years where you want your children to be? 10 years, where you want your children to be? What vision do you have for your children? You must have a vision for your children. And we must be people of actions. We must be people who leave a legacy behind. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll finish here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there were three people They were walking from the Bani Israel before Islam, and it began to rain. And they took shelter in a cave. And when they took shelter in the cave, what happened is that the rock rolled over the mouth of the cave. So they pushed, they heaved to no avail. So all three of them lie down waiting for death. And then one of them stands up. And he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "Oh Allah, I had elderly parents. And every night before they would go to sleep, I would give them milk and then they would go to sleep. One day I went far for fodder for the livestock. And by the time I came back, my parents had gone to sleep. My children were hungry. They wanted the milk. But I told my wife to put them to sleep. And all night I stood with the bowl of milk by the bedside of my parents. And when they woke up in the morning, I gave them the milk." He said, "Oh Allah, if you know that I done this action solely for your sake, then remove the rock." And the rock moves, but not enough for them to come out. Then the second one stands up. He says, "Oh Allah, I had a cousin, and I was infatuated with my cousin. There was no woman on the face of this earth that I loved more than my cousin. Many times I made a pass on her, but she always turned me down. And one day she came to me, she needed money. And she said, 'Can I borrow some money?' And I said, 'On the condition that you allow me to have a relationship with you.' And because she was in desperate need of the money, she agreed. And when I came close to her, she said to me, 'Fear Allah, ittaqillah. Fear Allah, do not break the seal unless you are the husband.'" And he says that the fear of Allah permeated my heart. And I moved back and I gave her the money and she went. He said, "Oh Allah, if you know that I done this action solely for your sake, then remove the rock." And the rock moves, but not enough for them to come out. Then the third one stands up and he says, "Oh Allah, I hired a group of people. And at the end of the day, all of them took their wages besides one person. He didn't take his wages, so I invested his wages because it was amana. Until that one day's wage mushroomed and blossomed and there was a valley full of livestock. And many days later, many years later, the same man came back. And he asked me, he said, 'Do you remember I worked for you for one day? I need that one day's wages.' And the man says, I took him and I said, 'Do you know this valley? All of it belongs to you.' And he said, 'Oh slave of Allah, don't joke with me. I'm in desperate need of the money.' And he says, 'All of this belongs to you. Take it.' And he took everything. He said, 'Oh Allah, oh Allah, if you know that I done that action solely for your sake, then remove the rock.' And the rock moves and all of them come out. I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, if me and you were the fourth person in that cave, by what action that we've done in our life would we have asked Allah to remove the rock? What action? What action have me and you done that we could have stood up and say, 'Oh Allah, remove the rock?' And if we haven't, then we need to become people of actions. Because by Allah, everything that you have today, the now, everything you see in front of you, the homes that you have, the cars that you have, you will leave them behind you. And the only thing that me and you are going to take from this dunya is our kafan. That is the only thing. And we need to realize that. And realize it and become people of actions. We need to change the state that we are in. We need to be people of high aspirations. And we need to work towards those aspirations. We need to be people who are positive. We don't need to be people who pull down other people. We don't need to be armchair critics. We need to be people of actions. Because by Allah, if you hold down people, then you are answerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll finish where I've started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr. By time, by the asr prayer. And then directly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, man is in loss. In the entirety, all man is in loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the asr time. And then directly after that, he speaks about man. Many of the mufassireen say, you know what Allah is speaking about here? He's speaking about life, man's life. See, the day starts at Fajr and it finishes at Maghrib. Similarly, man starts and at Maghrib time, his lights go out. Nobody here knows if he has reached the asr of his life. Nobody knows. There's a possibility that by the time we walk out of this masjid, we might meet our Maghrib. We might meet our death. Nobody knows. So Allah says, by the asr of your life, I take an oath that indeed you are in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Besides those who believe and those who do good actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who do good actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who understand the deep meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who have high aspirations in life. Guys, say Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who, like today, we have mashallah made the masjid flourish. We make it flourish many times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who work to build a community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaus. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.